is Jaren the GM on ESPN 102.5. The game online at thegamenashville.com. It's a Fireball Hot Take Friday, but a little different because usually the Friday show is a full Titans preview for the game on Sunday, but we have a game on Monday night.
Monday night.
Titans will play the Colts on Monday Night Football on ESPN, and we've been talking all week about Marcus and what Mike Mularkey wants to see from Marcus, and Marcus says that he absolutely thinks he'll be able to play Monday night, and Floyd's kind of going over the role the medical team plays in here, and it is 5 o'clock on a Friday, which means the coach, Herm Edwards, joins us. So, Coach, tell us about the position you feel Mike Mularkey is in with Marcus and his hamstring as he gets ready for Monday Night Football.
It's all on the medical staff, and you're going to leave it up to the medical staff. You never trust the player because the player always says he's ready to play. And the problem, you have to have a conversation with Marcus is, look, I understand maybe you're three-fourths healthy, but I want to know one thing. Can you make it through the game? And when he pauses, that tells you, okay, you're not up, you're not playing. Because that's how it works. Because all the players say, yeah, I want to play, coach, and you ask them, hey, can you make it through the game? And if they don't say, yeah, coach, I can make it through the game, I'm good. If they say, well, coach, you go, okay, another week, you're good.
Herm, we talked about last week without with Matt Cassel in there, and I heard you on NFL Live discussing the Titans need to run the ball if Matt Cassel's in there on Monday night, but why lately has the Titans' offensive line and running game been so pedestrian?
Yeah, it's puzzling. It's very puzzling because that's been the strength. Now, a little bit it has to do with people stacking the box on early downs. And so you can't, you know, sometimes what you have to do to get the running game going when they're doing it to you that way, you got to give him some early passes on first down. You know, you can't be predictable and just say, okay, we're going to run the ball. Everybody knows we're going to run the ball. On the first down, we're going to run it. Nah, not so much. Okay, let's make 5 yards. Let's throw a little 5-yard pass out there. It's second and five. Now the defense is at a disadvantage. Or you got to create a couple more formations where you can run out of. Or you got to open up the box, take players outside of the box to get players on defense to lead a box. So there's different ways you can run it. You just can't sit up there and we're coming right downhill at you. Well, okay. Really?
Herm, we haven't seen a lot of the young quarterback at Indy. You've probably seen him more than any of us. Give me a synopsis.
Floyd, he's really athletic. Well, as big as he is. He's a pretty good athlete. He can get out of the way. They can move him some, you know, but he's a strong arm guy. He'll sit in the pocket and throw the football. He can throw it down the field. But like all young quarterbacks, he's going to make some errors. He's going to have, you know, he's kind of hot and cold. I did the Colt game against the Rams, first game of the season, when he actually came in the game. And the Colts were struggling there at the end. And before he even came in, I was up doing the radio. I said, you know what? If I'm them, I'm getting Brissett ready. Because he's going to start next week. And the guy looked at me and said, what are you talking about? I said, I'm getting him in the game. See, he's going to be the starter next week. Because right now, the quarterback's playing right now. He can't do it. This is what you traded for this guy for. Get him in the game now. Let him play some. Because next week, he's going to start. So he's been the starter ever since. But he, as I said, he's big, he's strong, tough guy, can throw the football. I mean, he likes getting it to T.Y. Hilton. I mean, that's one of his guys. He can throw it to him. Dole, the tight end, is pretty good. And Gore, we know about Gore, but the kid, Mac, is a good player. The runner, Mac, the kid out of South Florida, he's eventually the heir apparent. He can go now. Oh, boy. He can go. You're going to like him. You're going to watch him run now. He can go.
We spent a little time last night watching the game, and your old club, I'm going to tell you what now. Those Eagles look like they might be for real, and Wentz looks like he might be for real.
Yeah. And then, you know, we going into the season, we thought in this division that maybe they were a year away. You know, I mean, the projections, you know, you go into the season, hey, wait, is the Giants or the Dallas going to win the division? And maybe the Eagles are a playoff team. Maybe not. Maybe they're a year away. We knew they had a good defensive front. They got a really good offensive line. The runner has helped them tremendously. Early in the season, they were out of whack. They were throwing it 44 times, only running 16. After the second week, they got back to balance. LeGarrette Blount has been a really good player for them inside, running those inside yards, hard nose guy. Opens up the play action pass. Ernst is a guy he leans on, and their front on defense, Cox and Jernigan, those guys. I tell you what, poor Cam, They were rushing with four. You saw it.
Oh, yeah.
And now Cam's 6'5".
Oh, yeah.
And it was looked like the pocket was caving in on the guy. It was like, are you kidding me? You know, and so that protected the secondary. And that was a big win for him. The turnovers, obviously, were the big two plays for him to get two turnovers and get a short field and score 14 points.
Coach Herm Edwards, our guest here, ESPN 102.5 The Game. So tell me this, Herm. How much trouble are the Titans in if they lose to Indianapolis Monday?
Well, you know, we will say that. Well, we thought that with Cincinnati, too, after the first two games. Oh, they're a mess. They're done. Man, guess what? They're one game out first. I mean, these divisions are a mess anymore. It's great because you win a game, and all of a sudden, look, the Jacksonville Jaguars started out, okay, a house of fire, and then all of a sudden they had a couple losses. They got awful. Now they're in first place again. This division is a division in this sense. I still don't trust Jacksonville. They haven't won a home game in their stadium yet. They can go to London and play. They go to Pittsburgh and beat up the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now they're at home, and I'm going, can they win a game, please, at home? So as much as you say these guys could be in trouble, I know this. The next two games are important for them. They're playing two teams with losing records, one with no wins, and another team that's 2-5. They're going on the road. If they win these two games, now you got to win the first one first. You win these two games, all of a sudden you're looking at yourself, you're just going, you know what, hey, we're all right. We're 4-3. We're okay. And so, you know, it's just, but they got to win these games. These are important now. These next two, they're important for them because the teams aren't like great teams are playing.
Her Monday, especially going back to our day, Monday Night Football was the only thing that ever mattered.
That's right.
Does it still have that same kind of status in the league?
I think it does. I think, and you know this, and you've been in the league as long as I have, and we never imagined how popular Sunday would be, right?
Right.
They found that Sunday night thing was like, wow. Why didn't they think of it? Because it was always Monday night, you know. But Sunday has become kind of like, the Sunday night game is kind of interesting, you know, because the time Monday rolls around now, because there's so many games on, you know, the television has a lot to do with it. You start on Thursday, you watch football games. Then Friday, you go to high school. Then Saturday, there's college games all day, all night. Okay, you ain't got college games on tonight, by the way, or, you know. And then Saturday, you sit there and you're going to – then Sunday, you watch the NFL game. Then Sunday night's kind of like, okay, this is the last game. Great. And then Monday night, you go, I got to watch another one. You're almost tired. Right? And I love football. But it's almost – it's enough already, right?
Last one for you, Herm, before we get you out of here. What has to happen for the Titans in order to beat the Colts? If there was one thing in your mind that the Titans absolutely had to do, go
just
for
control
it.
Control the line of scrimmage. Just come out, control the line of scrimmage. It would be nice if the Titans on the first possession went down on the field, on the road, and put points on the board. That'll send them – there's a comfort about that when we do that. There's a comfort. And you know what? We move the ball down the field. We got whether it's a field goal, I don't care what you do. That first drive is critical on the road. Get the crowd out of it. Get yourself some confidence. You lost two in a row. You move the ball offensively. Your defense gets excited. Hey, we can move the ball. What you don't want is this. Don't mess around and go 3-out. No. After you lost two in a row already, you don't want to go 3-out. You don't want to do that. Not on Monday night. No. You don't want to go 3-out. No. Because the crowd's going to be all jacked up. Then Monday night, you know, people are all excited. Just move the ball. Just go move the ball.
He is the coach, Herm Edwards. Herm, we appreciate it. As always, we look forward to hearing you break this one down on ESPN all throughout the weekend and, of course, on Monday.
Oh, boy, I can't wait till Monday.
Thanks, Herm.
We'll see you, Herm. Coach Herm Edwards joining us here on the show. And I'll say this for the fans. I guarantee you there are fans in the car that heard Herm there say, don't go 3-out on the first drive and thought, amen, Herm. Because that's what I was thinking. I mean, I heard Herm exactly say, don't go 3-out. Preach, Herm. Preach. Herm, please. Because the Titans are a 3-out team in the first half. And I hate that. And there's a part of me that says, hey, that's part of the deal. When you play like the Titans play, you go 3-out. And it's okay because, you know, they're just kind of establishing the run and they're going to wear them down and all that. And I get that. But I hate 3-out early in the ball game.
Yeah, I mean, and the truth is you ought to have enough diversity in your run game that you know, that doesn't always happen. Now, it happens to a lot of teams a lot of times, but it doesn't have to happen to you every time.
615-737-1025. If you have a thought on anything Herm said, we'll get to that. 615-737-1025. Plus something Herm said about Marcus that I think is pretty important. I want to get to that coming up next. And it also ties into what Mike said yesterday about Marcus. You are listening to Jared and the GM live from the Game Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. of Mount Juliet. It is a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Hey, tomorrow we're bringing you the best coverage of college football with the Saturday Tailgate. Join myself and Julian Council at Mafiosa's in Franklin, and that's every Saturday from 10 a.m. to noon, and it's only right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Jared of the GM, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Okay, so Herm Edwards, we asked him about Marcus, and we asked him about the coach, and how does the coach handle the quarterback, and you heard exactly what Herm said, and then you gave me a big little smirk when Herm said it. I mean, you had the you were Chuckles McGee over there what he said.
You asked, praying that he would say, what was my decision? I was the head coach. It was my decision. That's
oh,
what
not
you
at
want.
All.
Oh, yeah, it was.
No. No, I was hoping he would say something when I asked about the head coach and what how the head coach handles this. Is he would say, hey, you have to trust him. You know, I was hoping that was what I was going to get, not you listen to the medical people. And, of course, you over there with your big, I told you look on your face. And so the thing is this, okay? I think I'm going to admit to being wrong.
No.
I am ready to admit to being wrong.
I can't believe that.
At the start of yesterday's show.
Maybe you're just not completely right.
At the start. You know what? I'd like to believe that too. At the start of yesterday's show, I said I thought Mike held Marcus back against the Dolphins just because he knew the Dolphins sucked, which they did, and he thought he could get by with Matt Castle, which if the refs didn't totally blow the game, they probably would have won.
I mean, that, you know what? That's the most forgotten part about this whole thing.
They took a touchdown off the board and then gave them a touchdown.
14-point swing, and you lose by, what, 6?
Yeah.
There you go.
And DeMarco fumbles the ball. Take those two things out there. The Dolphins can't even get a first down against you. So I just – and not only that, let's say the Titans had scored a touchdown – to go up 7-0, that would have felt like Mount Everest for the Dolphins to climb.
Oh, yeah.
With the fans booing them and with – so we totally forget about that. But I thought Mike was the reason – Mike was the one that held Marcus out. Now, Mike doesn't help his cause when he keeps talking about what I need to see. Like yesterday when Mike was asked what he needed to see from Marcus.
You're going to have to see him – perform a full sprint before you're comfortable putting him out there, or do you think you might
I'll have to see more than what I've seen to this point, yeah.
I am going to need to see more than what I have to see. So I just, I mean, but then I hear you talk about it, and I hear Herm talk about it, and I am now willing to admit that maybe Mike had really nothing to do with Marcus not playing on Sunday.
Ah, okay.
So I'm wrong in that regard. I think there is something to that in which I'm wrong. That it was a medical people's decision.
That's I'm proud of you.
So then why would Mike go to the podium the day after Marcus got hurt, and why did he say that he was day-to-day?
You know what? When it comes to – now, I don't know this because I've never been to Mike, you know, in a medical meeting. But generally speaking, coaches just repeat what they've been told.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have an opinion. You know, when somebody gets hurt and the coach goes to the trainer or to the doctor, he's not going there saying, hey, I only want him to be out for a week. He's going there saying, what is it? How bad is it? How much will he miss? And that's all they care about. After they get that information, then they're off and running trying to figure out what they're going to do. So I'm sure whoever, and I don't know who it would be, somebody said, well, it won't be a long term. You know, it's not like Cyprian. It's not like Davis. Well, what is, you know, it's like day to day. Okay, good. All right. And you just kind of repeat what you've been told.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't tell us day to day and then 13 days later, Marcus not be able to play. I just, that I.
Well, I define day to day. to me, day to day means
not. Okay, let's count this. Not day today, 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 and that's where we are right now on day to day.
That's right. That's what I would have said.
Today, today, today would get you to Monday.
Exactly what I thought it would be. Right where we are.
And then don't chastise NFL Network for saying 2 to 4 weeks when it looks like it's going to be 2 to 4 weeks. Well, yeah, you can listen to NFL Network or you can listen to me.
That's you guys.
I tell it how it is.
You could next time that comes about, you can say, "Well, I'm going to listen to NFL Network." Cool.
Hey, you're trying to get me to act all like Jerry Tipton covers Kentucky for the Lexington Herald Leader. Telling Calipari yesterday that it was not coach day, it was media day. You're trying to get me to do that with Mike. I like Mike, but I'll say this. I don't know who ultimately is going to make the call on whether or not Marcus plays on Monday night, but the Titans need Marcus to play. I mean, they really need Marcus to play.
Yeah, I mean, and believe me, nobody knows that more than Mike. I mean, that is very clear in his mind.
I am just hopeful that the fans will not blame Mike if Marcus doesn't play, because Mike is setting it up for the fans to blame Mike if Marcus doesn't play.
They'll blame Mike regardless. I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, that's part of the, you know, job, and he understands that.
Do you think Marcus is going to play?
I mean, I told you, if I was a betting guy, which we don't bet on this show, but
even though we have six-pack picks coming up at 5:45, and I'm thankful, by the way, that we don't bet. Did I have another bad week last week in six-pack picks? I think I did. You obviously didn't have a good week because you don't have the sheet with you, and you always have the sheet with you if you had a good week. Oh, do you have the sheet with you? It's in your back pocket?
I don't know. Let me see.
Oh, man. Floyd, if Floyd has a good week, Floyd takes the sheet out and does, the newspaper thing, to let us know what happened the week before. But I just right now with the Titans, I mean, just beat this team. This team sucks. The Colts are horrible. You heard what Herm said. You heard Herm when he was like, now look, you got to win these next two games. Herm's right. Indy, Cleveland. You have to win those two. They're horrible. And I know that you try to minimize how bad the Colts are because the Titans are playing them next. But if we were in a different market, if we were in, pick another NFL town.
Boston.
If we were in Boston and we were Felger and Maz, Felger and the GM, and we were talking about whether or not the Colts were good, we would laugh about the Colts. Everybody around the country laughs at how bad the Colts are. The Colts have two wins over 0-5 Cleveland and in overtime over 0-5 San Francisco. They beat the two worst teams in the league. The perpetual two worst teams in the league. They're bad.
We got to play those teams, right?
Yes. Okay. Thankfully, if you're a Titan fan.
Okay.
And yet, here's the thing. You are going to minimize it and try to tell me how good the Colts are, because that's what you would do if you were a GM or coach with your team. You would sit there and you would tell them how good that Colts team is. And now, hey, the Colts have Frank Gore and he can run the ball, and they've got Marlon Mack, who's a good running back, and they've got a good offense, and they've got, and I just want to go, Floyd, the Colts are horrible. They're horrible.
This is what I would go to. I would go to.
We haven't beat that team.
There you
in
go.
15
there
tries.
You go. That's the answer right there. And it doesn't matter who the quarterback was. We lost to Luck plenty of times, but we lost to guys that didn't have the last name Luck. And so it doesn't matter. We have struggled with everyone that shows up in that with that horseshoe on their helmet.
In all fairness,
I don't know why.
In all fairness, it's only been four guys. Manning, that's okay, right?
We've lost to him.
Manning, Luck.
We've lost to him.
Orlovsky.
We've lost to him.
And what was the name of that crummy quarterback from Kansas State?
We lost to him.
Who played for Tampa Bay. Josh Freeman. They signed Josh Freeman on a Wednesday and started him on Sunday, and he beat the Titans.
There you go.
But that was when they were the worst team in the league, and Mike Mularkey almost cost the Titans the first overall pick in the draft because he almost, because Alex Taney almost came in and beat the Colts. I'm just telling everybody out there, the Colts are bad. Can we all admit the Colts are bad? Ian, are the Colts bad?
They're not good.
Come on, Ian, don't cover for him.
I'm just saying, man.
He's 1-16.
I mean,
too.
Jacoby Beef Brisket and T.Y. Hilton. I mean, they're gonna put up some numbers. There's no doubt about that.
I would like quadruple team T.Y. Hilton. Like, I'd have one guy over the top. I'd have one guy like matched up with a man for man. I'd have one guy on like inside of T.Y. Hilton, and then I'd have the sideline as the fourth defender on T.Y. Hilton.
We got to hope that the tight end doesn't play.
O'Doyle rules.
Yes, he killed us last year.
I'd rather die by him than die by T.Y. Hilton.
We've done that too.
I'm sick of the Titans getting a game with Ian Eagle calling it and just constantly, oh my, T.Y. Hilton. I'm so over it. But I think this Colts team is horrible, and I think everybody can agree except for the GM, who last year wouldn't admit that the Titans were definitely, should positively, under no circumstances, lose to Cleveland. And I'm already prepared for starting Tuesday of next week with you going, now you got to remember, Cleveland's really good. So I'm prepared for that. But I just want the people out there to know, since I speak the truth, I want them to know that the Colts are terrible. And as I said, there's no excuse to lose this game. And if the Titans lose this game, we don't have a panic button here in the room. But
you'll find one.
That's me hitting the panic button. I will jam the panic button in place to where you can't even hit it anymore because it's so far in, because I'm so panicked about the Titans season, which was supposed to be a good season because they lost to the crummy Colts.
Okay.
Would you hit the panic button?
No.
What does hitting the panic button for a GM mean? Is that like when you fire a coordinator or what is the definition of panicking as a GM?
You start to panic when you feel the entire season slipping away.
Oh, definitely hit the panic button then if they lose.
Oh, no.
I mean, oh, my God. Oh, it's the Colts.
Too many games.
You just lost to the Dolphins and then you lose to the Colts?
Too many games.
The Dolphins and the Colts. I'm okay with losing to Oakland, even though Oakland has started to struggle as of late. I'm okay. Like, if they go to Pittsburgh on Thursday night and lose, I'm okay with that. Not the Dolphins and the Colts back-to-back. I mean, that's like if it's an SEC schedule. I'm okay with losing to Alabama. I'm not okay with losing to Missouri. And that's how I feel about this. We'll take your phones. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, live from the Game National Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. of Mount Juliet. It's Jared and the GM on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Hey, do not miss the 2017 Nashville Whiskey Festival, presented by Midtown Cork Dorks Wine, Spirits, and Beer. The festival is at the Omni Nashville Hotel, Saturday, October 14th, 6:30 to 10:30. For more information, visit NashvilleWhiskeyFestival.com. Jared and the GM, ESPN 102.5. The game.
You're going to have to see him perform a full sprint before you're comfortable putting him out there, or do you think you might
I'll have to see more than what I've seen to this point, yeah.
Mike will have to see more before he's ready to put Marcus out. We start the show at 2 o'clock on Monday, live from Bar Lines inside of the downtown Nashville Omni Hotel. By 2 o'clock, will we know if Marcus is a go for Monday Night Football Monday?
2 o'clock?
Yes. 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Will Schefter or Rappaport or one of these insiders.
I don't know. That could be. But officially, you won't know until 6:30 or 6.
Well, yeah, we all know that.
Yeah.
Why don't you just find out for us?
I have no idea.
Call your league sources. My guess is your league sources are better than their league sources. So we do have to get to six-pack picks at 5:45. But first, I do want everyone to take in how important the Tennessee-South Carolina game at 11 o'clock is tomorrow. Because if Tennessee loses, Butch Jones is probably gone. Now, he's probably gone either way, but this might be the end of the road for Butch Jones. This might be his last chance to at least gain some positive momentum. Because if they lose to South Carolina, everybody's going to want him fired that already wants him fired anyways, which is pretty much everybody. And then they're going to get crushed by Alabama. And at that point, I think they'll fire him right then and there. Now, I think there's also a chance that Butch does not return after this game. If they lose to South Carolina, let's say they lose by 21 points to South Carolina, which college football things can snowball, then Butch might be let go Sunday afternoon. So I want to be preemptive in wishing Butch nothing but the best. Get a little Butch music.
Happy trails to you.
Oh,
until we meet again. Happy trails.
I just don't want Butch to get fired on Sunday and us not be on the air to talk about it. And that'll really, you know what? I am pleading with the Tennessee boosters. I have two things to plead for with Tennessee and the Tennessee boosters. Can I get these two things off my chest, Floyd?
Sure.
If you're going to fire him, just wait until Wednesday. We already have a loaded show Monday to talk about the Titans and the Colts. And then we'd have to talk about the Titans and the Colts on Tuesday, too, after they, you know, either win or lose that game. And then Wednesday, you can fire him. But just wait until after Alabama. Just wait until after Alabama, and then you can fire him because there's no Monday night football game that would ruin our show. Well, there's a Titans game on a Sunday, so that Monday, if they fire him Sunday after Alabama, I don't know.
I've got a question. Could he lose one of these games bad enough to truly get fired, like, right in the middle of the year?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying is I think if he loses by 21 tomorrow, he's fired. Sunday?
Really?
I think so.
I'm talking about out.
Yes.
Wow.
Like that's why I played the music, because there's a chance he might not be the coach on Monday.
Who becomes the coach?
Brady Hoke, probably, the defensive line coach. Maybe Larry Scott, the offensive coordinator.
You know Jim Harbaugh, the guru at Michigan?
Same stats as Brady Hoke, I know. Oh, the good one, GM.
That's so amazing.
Justin is up next on UT. What's up, Justin?
What's going on, guys? How's everybody doing?
Great.
Hey, first of all, I just want to give a moment of silence to my boss. All right, thank you for that. Just want to ask Floyd. Well, first I want to give a hot take right now. If Mariota doesn't start, I still believe that we're going to beat the Colts. That's my hot take. I just want to ask Floyd, Bruce. I know you were a GM, but I'm going to put you in the eyes of an athletic director for the Tennessee Vols. If they indeed get blown out, and I'm pushing more to 28 points, not 21 points. 28 points, we get blown out. What would you do in the situation of the athletic director for Tennessee? And also, I'm going to ask you, what top two coaches would you try to recruit to come coach for Tennessee? And also, I'm going to say this. Another question for Jarrett. What do you think if they get blown out by South Carolina and just be on some fluke chance, Kelly has an incredulous game and on Alabama and we just all come together and for some fluke, God shows his mercy and grace on us, we beat Alabama, but we still got blown out by South Carolina. Do you think that's enough for Bush to have another year under his
belt? This is not going to happen. I can't. That's just – you know, if we get blown out by South Carolina but beat Alabama, I've seen crazy things. I'm not sure I've ever seen anything crazy like that.
That would be crazy.
I mean, that would be like a Democratic president winning West Virginia. I mean, it's just not going to happen. Your thoughts on who you would get if you were athletic director?
First of all, I think if I was the athletic director, for me, I mean, I would do what I thought was best for recruiting the players. And I right now, I really don't know what that is. But I think it would be something I would have to sit down with people if they thought that...
Well, the best thing for recruiting is to keep the coach and keep him into next season, but that's not going to happen.
Yeah, but I don't think... See, I don't think even if he stays, there's going to be so much speculation about his job. I'm not sure it will be the best for recruiting or for the school. Because he's going into next year with a giant bullseye on his back. And, you know, it'll be one of those, if you lose one game to somebody you shouldn't lose, you're going to be gone. And all the recruits are going to know that. And all the SEC schools that they'll be recruiting against are going to be telling them that, hey, you know, he's one loss away from being out of there. And they could very well be right. So I think, I just don't know if it's better to make the change in the middle of the year or make the change later on.
Kenny's up next. What's up, Kenny?
Well, I think you guys are overlooking a very significant aspect in the probable firing of Butch Jones. Once they fire him, he is not going to be an ex-football coach. He is going to be a champion of unemployment.
Okay, let's go to Garrett, who's up next on the Titans. What's up, Garrett?
Hey, I had a, I guess, a hot take, and I kind of wanted to get your opinion on this.
Which so whose opinion take, do you want on it?
Yours.
Ooh, wow, mine.
So here's my hot take. If Matt Cassel, let me back up. If Mariota had the same injury as Andrew Luck and was out for the entire year, and we had to roll with Matt Cassel from week one and have the exact same schedule as the Colts have, I think we would probably be winless at this point. So
you don't think the Titans would beat the Browns?
I'm at this point in the season, no. I don't think we would with Matt Cassel.
Do you know that Matt Cassel beat the Texans last year?
In a meaningless game, the Texans didn't even have to win to get in the playoffs.
You know the Browns didn't win meaningless games last year, right?
I understand that. I'm just saying Matt Cassel looks like he passed his prime 3 years ago.
Yeah, but past your prime and completely useless are two totally different things. I appreciate your call, Garrett. I mean, you might be right. I actually think the Titans should have won last week with Matt Cassel, and the team they lost to is 2-2. So I don't blame Matt Cassel for why the Titans lost last week.
Right, and I think, I mean, to get back to his point, I think if we would have lost Marcus to, God forbid, whatever kind of injury it was that was going to cost him the entire season, I'm not sure we would have tried to go through the entire season with Matt Cassel. I think we might have done what Indy did and jump out there and trade and bring somebody in and see if he's going to be good enough, because it's different. You know, when you're looking at 16 games versus hoping for one. So I think that's what's important there.
Do you think the Titans would be winless if Matt Cassel started every game so far this year?
Winless?
Yeah, that's what the caller said.
Yeah, I don't know about winless. I mean, to be honest, I don't know that there would be. I'm trying to think. Maybe a game's different. The Seattle game I could see going differently. Marcus played pretty good there.
Floyd, I don't know what the standings are in six-pack picks, but I got to start making up some ground because I'm not doing too hot. And I'll tell you who's really screwing me over is the Titans. I keep picking them, and they keep losing.
No.
So am I going to pick the Titans?
Here's the quote from last week. We know we have these quotes every week. Florida playing LSU.
Oh, yeah, don't even get me started on that one.
I would go and get everything I've got. I would sell it. I would take all of that money, and I would bet it on Florida. That's how much I believe they're going to win. And
who's to say I didn't do that?
You're here. If you would have done that, we'd be at your funeral.
Somebody tweeted me and said that they bet everything they had on Florida because of me, and they said, thanks, Jared. I'm thinking they were joking. I'm hoping.
You're hoping they were joking?
I'm hoping they were joking. But, you know, I learned my lesson about Florida, too. Never trust a coach who doesn't brush their teeth.
Do we have the updated score here?
Yes, we do.
Okay, we'll get to the updated score, how far behind I am, and my perfect 6-0 that will come next. It's Jared and the GM six-pack picks on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Our next, let me see. It is time for me to tell people that the Honky Tonk Hat Trick is back and is from 5 o'clock to 6:30 at Tootsie's, Rippies, and Honky Tonk Central weeknight home games before the Preds. Stop by any of these locations before Predator weekday home games for specials on Bud Light. While there, register for a pair of tickets to an upcoming weekday home game and passes to the Bud Light Zone, or you may win a VIP hockey experience. Our very own Braden Gall will be at Honky Tonk Central. The VIP Honky Tonk experience is a pair of tickets to an upcoming game, dinner for two before the game, and a ride on the Zamboni during intermission. Jaron the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Jared the GM, ESPN 102.5 The Game. I am so apologetic to my audience right now. Do you want to know why I'm so sorry? I'm really, I really.
I would guess it's because of your record in six-pack picks.
No. That's, you know,
what it should be.
Hey, hey, we can always dig ourselves out of holes. The problem is there was a great back and forth at Kentucky's Media Day yesterday between Jerry Tipton, a beat writer for the Lexington Herald Leader, and John Calipari. I guess everybody keeps asking Cal about the FBI investigation into college sports. And you know how Cal's not touching it with a 10-foot pole because Kentucky's not been involved in any of it. But, I mean, let's not kid ourselves about Cal. So Cal didn't want to answer any questions. So I guess Cal was like, does anyone – I want to talk about the kids and the team and the – Cal's like, does anyone have a question? And Jerry Tipton goes, yeah, about the FBI. And Cal was like, next question. And he goes, no. It's media day, not coach day. You didn't need to let me ask my question. And then Cal let him ask his question, and I loved it. And I don't have that clip cut for the fine folks out there. So, audience, I apologize. Okay, six-pack picks. Ian, what's our score? What was last week? And then we'll get right to the picks.
Last week, Floyd went 4-2. Jared, you went 3-3. That puts our season records at for Floyd, 23-14. And for Jared, you are at 16-21.
I don't know who I blame more, the Titans or Jim McElwain, but I blame them both very.
16-21.
Woof. You're doing really well on the gambling front.
All right, game one. We'll go right to the hot seat here. 11 a.m., ESPN, South Carolina, headed to Neyland, and Tennessee is -2.5. Floyd, you could decide who goes first.
Let's let young Jared take this one.
Okay, I'm trying to stand on my chair right now in the studio because I've not been good at guarantees lately. Florida really let me down last week. South Carolina is going to win this ball game, folks. Tennessee has quit on the coach. They have quit on the season. They are done for the year. South Carolina, and it ain't even close. And if you're a Vol fan, you should root for this outcome because I fear, as a radio host, who's got a Monday night football game to talk about on Monday, that UT's going to fire the coach after this game. But I'm taking South Carolina. Floyd, go ahead and write big next to my South Carolina prediction, can you?
You know what's so sad about this? I will put big there. that I wanted to take South Carolina. But because of the Sally rule, if you take South Carolina and you're so strong with it, I've got to take South Carolina too.
What? What?
I can't get it. He hasn't beaten Will. I think he's like 0-5 or 0-6. And they're coming off a giant win. They're going to be cranked, and Tennessee will struggle.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say that's with teams that haven't quit on him. Hey, nothing says
the best game from the best conference.
Nothing says it like a team back-to-back weeks that couldn't beat Troy.
Let's see. A game you can hear on the Auburn Radio Network, pregame 1 o'clock right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Oh, no, never mind. It's going to be a great game. Everybody watch and listen.
Great game. Auburn at LSU. Auburn is -6.5, Floyd.
Which is a lot of points in this game, in my opinion, but I'm still going to take Auburn. I think their D-line is going to be stout enough that that LSU trying to move the ball on the ground is going to have a struggle.
I'm going to take Alabama, Georgia, and Auburn over everybody else in the SEC unless they play one of the other schools. So Auburn will play both. At that point, I'll actually have to make a pick. But if Auburn, Georgia, or Alabama plays somebody, I'm picking them over the SEC team. Give me Auburn. Let's go to the NFL, baby. This is where I'm going to make my money back.
Although you don't know if I'm playing the baseball music or the football music
right
now.
Don't get me started on that.
All right, a game you can hear right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game at 11 o'clock on Sunday. Green Bay Packers should be a good game. In the division at Minnesota, Packers are -3, Jared.
I went with the Packers last week. I felt good about it. Then I felt bad about it. Then I was reminded why I felt good about it. Aaron Rodgers. And who's he going up against this week? Case Keenum? Okay, Aaron Rodgers. No, don't even put Green Bay down. Put Aaron Rodgers down for me.
I'm going to have to do the same thing. I think even though it's in Minnesota, it's going to be tough. I mean, they can't keep that quarterback healthy, and I don't know who it's going to be. So I've got to go with Green Bay.
All right. The Rams headed over to Jacksonville across the coast there. Jacksonville is -2.5. Floyd.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to go with the Rams, even though Jacksonville is playing very well, or played very well last week. I think the Rams are a better total team, amazingly enough.
I'm going to take the Jags. I don't know why. I kind of wanted to take the Rams, but then you took them, so I kind of feel like I want to be a little different. To me, it comes down to the 25-year-old head coach of the Rams versus that stout Jacksonville defense. And then it's, you know, can Wade Phillips make Blake Bortles beat him? I think the Jags will run the ball. Good defense for the Jags. I'm going to take Jacksonville at home, although Herm did bring up the fact they're not very good at home. So I kind of want to change it to the Rams, but I've already put my
Too
blood
late.
Down the Jags.
Too late.
Give me the Jags.
There you go.
This could be a good game, actually. As long as the Steelers show up, they're not really good on the road. But Steelers at the Chiefs, and the Chiefs are -4, Jared.
Ooh, that's tough. Give me Big Ben and the Steelers. Here's why. Last year we saw what Big Ben did in the playoffs. Well, what the Chiefs didn't do. But, you know, Kansas City's feeling pretty good about themselves, but they're a little beat up. Travis Kelce might not play, questionable in the concussion protocol. Big Ben's got to play better after what he did last week. I'm feeling it. I think this is going to be a down-to-the-wire game. Steelers, Floyd.
I'm going to stick with Kansas City. I mean, I've picked them right off the bat to be one of the better teams in the AFC. I'll continue to do that. They are playing really, really well. Alex Smith is playing so much better than he has in the past. I mean, he is not only winning games, he's putting up big numbers.
That leaves us with one game left in our six-pack picks, Floyd.
One game.
Good to get the Titans for this music, huh?
Oh, yes.
All right, here it is. It's a pick 'em here in town. What you got? What you got, Floyd?
Is it me?
I'm so glad you have to pick first.
I'm going to take the Titans. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt in my mind. I think this is a game that they need to win. I think they're going to be a better team, and it's going to be here. It's going to be a good crowd, and it'll be Monday Night Football.
Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. I picked the Titans last week. I thought they'd beat the crummy Dolphins. I can't remember the last time I actually was at a game that the Titans beat the Colts. But it was a Monday night game in 2008. I think the last time I saw the Titans beat the Colts in person. And I'm going on Monday. Monday night has been good to the Titans versus the Colts. I'm going to take the Titans. I don't know why. I shouldn't. I should have learned my lesson. So if I lose, shame on me. But I'm taking the Titans. And the number one reason why I'm taking the Titans, aside from that Monday Night Football game in 2008, is because the Colts suck. So I'm taking the Titans. I think Marcus plays. I think Titans win. I'm going to take the Titans. GM?
Yes, sir.
We have a huge weekend ahead of us. Hockey tomorrow with the Predators. Then we've got football all day on ESPN 102.5 The Game on Sunday. And, of course, the Titans. We will be live at Barlines inside the downtown Nashville Omni Hotel starting at 2. In fact, I want everybody to come on out before the game to Barlines in the Omni Hotel and hang out with us starting at 2 o'clock to get you ready for Jared and the GM, to get you ready for the Monday Night Football game. Barlines in the Omni Hotel. We want everybody out there Monday.
That will be happening.
It will be fun. You know what? We don't have any scheduled special guests. We might need to work out some special guests to come on out and kick it with us. Game Blitz, Chase McCabe, Sudzo, and the crew. That's coming up next. We're back at it 2 o'clock Monday. Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game.